An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we're always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We consider it a great privilege to do this each and every week, and we would love for you to visit our website and learn more about who we are and what we believe. You can go to our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. All these podcasts are there for you for download. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're studying worship. We're studying Psalm 5, looking at the glories of this psalm, the riches of this psalm. And as we look at this psalm today, I want to begin with something that I read years ago by David Fettes. And this is a good article that sets us on a straight path here as we look at Psalm 5. The article is called Worship Warnings. And here's what Fettes wrote. All too often, we worshipers seem to forget that we are in the presence of a holy and awesome God. Even when we pay attention in church, what are we really paying attention to? Many churches go out of their way to make worship more inviting and exciting. We preachers try to weave something colorful or humorous into our sermons to get people's interest. But interest in whom? The living God or the clever preacher? Music leaders want lively, fast-paced songs to create a sense of enthusiasm. But enthusiasm about what? The mighty acts of God or the fun singing of a bouncy tune? Sometimes it seems as though worship isn't really worship at all, but just a professionally planned event. People go to church out of habit, expect to be finished on time, and consider it a success if a good time was had by all. Many people have kicked the church habit, haven't they? They simply don't show up anymore. They don't take God seriously enough to go to church and worship Him, and that's a problem. But what if our biggest problem isn't those people who would rather stay in bed or cut the grass or go to the lake or play golf than go to church? What if the biggest problem is all those who do go to church but aren't really serious about God and don't seem to know what they're getting into? Author Annie Dillard writes, "Why do people in churches seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? Does anyone have the foggiest idea of what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up batches of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may awake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." Do we realize that when you go to church, do you realize you're entering a danger zone? It's like being close to a high voltage electrical wire. It's a power that can do many wonderful things, but if you get careless, it can destroy you in a moment. The God who created electricity is far more powerful and dangerous than any high voltage current. Get careless around Him and it could cost you. Trifle with Him and it could destroy you. The place of worship is a danger zone. So get serious. Watch your step. I had to read that today on Abounding Grace from David Fettes. I think it really gets to the point, doesn't it? Seeing how serious what we do in worship and why we do what we do, and have us consider, you know, why has everything today become so light? No one seems to have any fear of God anymore. Have you prepared for worship? How do you prepare for worship? What are you asking of the Lord? I never grasped this as a child. I didn't understand what worship was. I remember numerous times my father doing the same thing, yanking me off the floor. As a teenager, I'll never forget, I would nod off in the pew and there would be a giant head jerk. Everyone around me knew, hey, there's that Gordon kid sleeping again. I had no idea of what worship was. I stayed out late the night before. I got up the last minute. I dragged myself to sit there. And then I would look around at others and it seemed no better. Everyone seemed to be disengaged, reading church newsletters, some knitting. If the pastor was long-winded that day, you had an escalation of coughing and people rising to go to the bathroom. Here's my conclusion. I, and many others in the life of the church, had absolutely no idea what we were doing in worship, why we were there. It was merely a social club for the elite. And because of increased dissatisfaction of getting nothing, we thought the answer was to dress up worship to help us engage better. That was the worship wars of the 90s. Remember those? That was the worship wars. Let's dress it up. Let's make it better for people so that they can stay engaged. Well, Psalm 5 is addressing this today, and it brings us to the great question of the psalm. At the beginning of the psalm, David says something that we really wouldn't expect, especially as we read in the superscription, to the choir master, for the flutes. We're expecting something really uplifting, and yet this is what we get. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning, hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. What is this about? Well, verse 7 tells us, I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. The word for worship in the Old Testament means to bow down. Here, David is anticipating coming into the house of the Lord. But dear listener, why is he crying out? You see, the psalm is unique because I believe he now provides not some specific problem in this life, but the greatest problem that mankind faces. Our greatest problem is God himself. For you, verse 4, are not a God who takes delight in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. What a dangerous verse, isn't it? Notice the progression there. We never hear messages like this today. You hate wickedness. Evil cannot be in your presence. The boastful will not stand before you. You hate them. You will destroy them. God is absolutely and completely repulsed by sinners. Now, I wonder if we really felt the weight of that anymore. I used to hear that statement all the time. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Remember that? You see, what makes this psalm so potent is that David realized we're not sinners because we sin. We sin, dear listener, because we're sinners. And God's not just going to punish sin in hell. He's going to punish the sinner in hell. So you see, we ask the question as we come to Psalm 5. What is David bothered about? It comes to us and then we ask, do we take sin seriously? Because sin is overwhelming, David. You see, I wonder if we become totally unmoved today by the love of God. This is all we've heard today. God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. We can never even think of a God who hates. We can never even fathom a God who will judge sin in hell. And we have completely thrown out that message. And because we no longer have an understanding of his wrath and his justice, lo and behold, the love of God has no effect on us. Let me ask you on Abounding Grace today, dear listener, do you believe there's a hell? Do you believe God's going to send people there? that anyone who does not have a covering, anyone who's not saved and covered by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus, will go there. Do you know what's happened to David? He's been out in the world. He's felt the sorrow of it all, the problem of his sin. He's known its curse. And what he is saying is, I understand, O Lord, your holiness. I know what you're like. You can't tolerate sin. I mean, this is what Jesus said. Anyone who doesn't believe in him, the wrath of God, the orge, the hottest, intense wrath of God abides on those right now who are outside of him. And you see, David is saying, I'm anticipating going into the house of the Lord. Hear my cry. I'm all broken up because when I think about your justice and your holiness that no one can stand, I consider my own life and I groan. When I consider your blazing holiness and what the wicked are like in this world, I fall right into despair. You see, my concern today is that we have been so desensitized to these things, they no longer even affect us. We can't even hear about this stuff today. I was reading Ezekiel the other day, and it was interesting in Ezekiel chapter 8 that God takes Ezekiel and he shows him the worship of the people. What do you see, son of man? He says, I see great abominations in the house of the Lord. They're driving away the Lord from the sanctuary. There was an image at the gate. People were worshiping. Idols were in the house. The elders were worshiping pictures. The women were worshiping a big statue. And 25 men were worshiping the sun to the east. God told Ezekiel to the angel to mark those who mourn over this stuff. Last week, these were the headlines. A man and his son gunned down in LA home. Perversion files show locals helped cover up alleged child sex abuse in Boy Scouts. Four dead in beauty salon shooting. Dinesh D'Souza resigns presidency amidst scandal. Simpson trying to sell alleged murder weapon for millions. 9/11 mastermind blasts U.S. for killings. Man arrested in suspected terror plot to attack Federal Reserve in New York City. Does this affect us anymore? You see, does sin affect us? The worship of the Lord contaminated today. The world going to hell in a handbasket. David's weeping, but you see, God's going to give him an answer. When we come with a broken and contrite heart, what does the Lord do? He takes us to his son. He shows us Jesus. He shows us his righteousness, his covering, his help, his forgiveness, his washing. And you see, when we've come by faith in Jesus Christ, this psalm's going to end on the most joyful note possible. It's going to lift us up in the joy of the Lord. Dear listener, to come there, to be there, to know true joy, you've got to see your sin. Because then we see how wonderful the person and the work of Jesus Christ is to save us from our sins. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We ask that you write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as you have heard them on this radio program and live in the Abbotsford area, we invite you to worship with us at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God. Visit our website at abbotsfordurc.org.